Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Over the last several broadcasts, we have introduced a study of the book of Obadiah, looking at what is known about the author and the date and the purpose and the primary message of the book, which has to do with God's judgment upon Edom, and have taken a bit of explanation to inform you as to exactly who Edom is. Where did this nation come from, and what is its relationship to the nation of Israel? All of that is now in the background, and today we're going to take up an overview of the body of this short book, an overview that will get our minds in gear for what we will later study on a more careful verse-by-verse examination. But there are four key words that introduce four main sections in the body of this book, the body constituting verses 2 through 21. This is the shortest book in the Old Testament, you recall, and it only has a total of 21 verses. And so verse 1 encompasses the introduction to the book, and then verses 2 through 21 encompass the body of the book, what the prophet declares in the main portion of this book, as short as it is. So that's where we are going on the Beacon Broadcast today. We are glad you were able to join us on this Tuesday, April 28. We are very grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. I read once again the first verse, which is the introduction, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us go up against her for battle. The key elements of the book are compressed into that first verse, as we've already seen, and it directs our attention to the judgment that God is pronouncing upon Edom. But now, as we look at the body of this book, what do we see? Well, as I've already said, there are four sections, and they are all introduced by the word behold. So, in verse 2, you read, behold, I will make you small among the nations. And then it goes on and gives some more information. And then you read in verse 10, all of the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, the calamity shall not overtake nor confront us. And there, the key word is for. For. And then we come to verse 15. And again, we have the word for. Now, all of these are not found in my... Okay, I'm looking now at verse 10. I read the wrong verse a moment ago, no wonder. So verse 10, the introductory word is for violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. And then in verse 15, we have for again, for the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. And then finally, In verse 17, we have the word but. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. So these are the words that introduce the four sections. Behold, for, and but. All of these are words of transition. And so each of them introduces a new section. But now let's get into these sections. First of all, a proclamation of divine judgment. Behold, verse 2, I will make you small among the nations, you, of course, being the nation of Edom. And the prophet Obadiah, speaking for God Almighty, goes through a list of descriptions of the nation of Edom, which are contributing factors to her downfall. She is proud of her status, her strength, her wealth, her allies, her counselors. I went through the list pretty quickly, but verse 2, behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. She's proud of her status, and God is going to take that away. I will make you small among the nations. Right now, she is a significant player, you might say, in that part of the world. She is I wouldn't really want to say large nation, because geographically and population-wise, that would not be the case, but she is a significant nation that has to be reckoned with, who cannot be ignored. And she's proud of that. She's proud of that status. She's proud of her strength. Verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Strength. She had a great deal of strength, and it goes on to describe that in verse 4, which I will not read at this time. She's proud, furthermore, of her wealth. Verse 5, if thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? O Edom, or rather, O how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. Edom was a wealthy nation that had stored up a great deal of treasure, and she was proud of that wealth. She was proud of her allies, her friendships. Verse 7, all the men of your confederacy shall do something. We'll look at that later in detail, but all the men of your confederacy. Edom had made strategic alliances with other nations around her and was proud of that. She had done that deliberately and cleverly, as nations do today. Forging alliances with other countries for strategic purposes, Edom had done that and was proud of those alliances, proud of her ability to make the alliances, proud of her cunning to have picked the right nations to make alliances with that she thought contributed to her strength and to what she considered to be her invulnerability, which God is going to deal with. And finally, she's proud of her wisdom, her counselors. Verse 8, will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom? The wise men, you're proud of your wise men. You have a reputation for wisdom. You have a reputation for wise counselors who have guided you in many of these things, and your ability to forge military strength for yourself and to accumulate wealth for yourself and to make allies for yourself. Ah, you are clever, you are proud of your wisdom, but I'm going to bring it all to the dust. That's the first section. Next we come to an exposure of Edom's transgressions, why God is judging her, and that's the word 4 that introduces verse 10, the section verses 10 through 14. And here it is, for violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you and you shall be cut off forever. And it goes on to describe that a little bit further. Why is God going to judge Edom? What specifically are her transgressions against God? Well, we just read the first one, because of violence against Jacob. Jacob, of course, was the original name for Israel. So, violence against Israel, and, as verses 11 through 14 say, because of siding with Israel's enemies. The two would tend to go together, but God deals with them separately here. First of all, you have committed violence against Israel, and secondly, you have sided with others who have come up against Israel. Instead of defending your brother, you have lined up yourself with Israel's enemies, those who are attacking your brother when you should have been defending him. So that is the reason why God is bringing judgment upon Edom. And then we come to an explanation of divine retribution, the general principle that's involved in this judgment. And that's the word for in verse 15, "For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done it, it shall be done to you." God's judgment will come upon all nations, not just Edom. Here, Edom is being singled out, but Edom is just one example of a general principle, namely that God is going to bring justice to bear upon all the nations, a judgment that is just. As you have done, so it shall be done to you. It is just justice. It is retributive justice. And Edom's judgment is a forewarning of universal judgment that will eventually fall upon all nations. And then the final section, verses 17 through 21, is a declaration of divine mercy. Judgment, the reasons for it, the general principles of it. But now verse 17, but here's another word that introduces a new section, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. So we've got behold, for, but. Behold, for, behold, take a look at this description of Edom. Behold, her pride of status and strength and wealth and allies and counselors. Behold that. Take a look at it. And then, for these reasons, God is going to judge Edom because of violence against Jacob and because of siding with Israel's enemies. And then, for again, for she falls under the umbrella of general principles of God's judgment that will come upon all nations, a just judgment, a retributive judgment. But now we come to the next transition word that introduces the last section, but there is mercy. And there is a declaration of divine mercy in verse 17 and following, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. So that's the general flow of this little book. And now, having an overview, we'll come back on the broadcast tomorrow and begin to delve into the details, the particulars that will help us to understand exactly what's going on in the shortest book of the Old Testament, the least known book of the Old Testament, but one of the books that God has placed in His Bible of 66 books. It doesn't have 65, it has 66. And this, therefore, needs to be understood. It needs to be examined because it is here for a reason. And we will pursue that reason on the broadcast tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.